He's not going to move your enemy out the way. He's going to allow the enemy to see you commune with him. Lord, I just thank you that we sit in a place of authority with you, God. That we have authority over every realm, Father God. We have our dominion, which you have given us in the very beginning in the garden, Lord. And I thank you, God, that we are a people that have understood how to stand in your word and in your presence with dominion, power, and authority. And God, I just thank you right now. I thank you for a special touch that someone got touched in the middle of the song. I hear the Spirit of God says, you have been weary. You have been tired. You're wondering, am I ever going to get over this issue of abandonment and being alone? You have been beaten. You've been lied to. You've been cheated on. Things have been stolen from you. And I hear the Spirit of God saying, this is the year that I will restore to you if you allow me to enter into that dark place of your heart. Will you leave it at my cross, says the Spirit of God? You have gone through enough and you're weary and you're tired that you will latch on to security, but that's not what I have given you. I am security. Don't look to fill a void. Hear this. Whoever you are that's in this place tonight, if your bed must be empty, hear me, then let it be empty. But I will be there with you. Do not try to fill a void because of fear of being alone. I, the Lord God, am your lover. And I will speak to you in the times of darkness. I will speak to you in the depths, in the things that you cannot see or understand. But do not settle. Do not settle. For I am about to bring you up again, says the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, before you look to your spouse and say, was that me? No, don't do that. Don't do that. You're about to get in trouble for real. Laying hands on somebody is one way, but laying hands that way is a totally different kind of way. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. God is up to something good. Something good. Will you allow him to do it? He's going to test you. Remember that? He's going to test you. He may even put some goggles on you just to see if you're going to go down to the depths that you couldn't go down to before. He's going to test you. But God is so good in the testing that it's a setup. Do you think that God is going to put you in a place or a situation that you're not going to make it?
No.
But it sure does seem like it, right?
Yeah.
It seems like, boy, God, you put me someplace I don't want to be in. I don't want to get there. I just want to get out. How many of you have been there? Just want to get. Look at that. That's the church. We may just need to go to old school church. Let's just drop the R and go to church. Because when you had church, you just let everything go. You don't care about the weave. You don't care about the eyelashes. You don't care about the mascara that starts running down. You start looking like Alice Cooper. You don't care. But when we get into Christian churches today, we just have a tendency to want to. We got to dress the part, look the part. But inside, you all jacked up. How about we just get past all that and say, I'm a mess. Just letting you know right now, I'm a mess. So if I get messy around you, it's because I'm a mess. Don't get it twisted, because I know I may be stepping in your mess too. You got some mess. I got some mess. But together, we're about to have a message. All right? See, there's something that's stirring, Jeff. I was going to take this down, and the Lord said, no, you ain't done yet. What you mean? It looks like pastor just can't decorate. No, you ain't done yet. I want you to do something different. I said, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do. He says, will you trust me? Yes, I can't do nothing else but trust. Amen. Don't you know when he asks you that? Katrina, do you trust me?
Yes, I trust you, Lord.
When you ask a question like that, you know, there's nothing I can't do but have to trust you. You put me in situations that I have to trust you. Because you put me in situations that my own little noggin up here ain't going to get me out. Matter of fact, that's what got me in. Huh? And it's not because my heart is so pure and so wonderful that I'm able to get out. No, it's when he says, I'm going to get you out, is when he gets you out. Amen. But we have a tendency to just kind of mess up and mess up again. Don't we? But what I love about God, he allows us to go through this, to walk through it, and experience his love, his mercy, his grace, and his unfailing love. Amen. Unfailing. Amen. Haven't you gotten mad at someone when they did something wrong? Come on. Just y'all in church. The cross is right there. Don't get entangled with the web now. When, you know, somebody makes you mad, it takes you a while to kind of get over it. Oh, I'm Christian thing. I forgive you. No, you didn't. Because you look at them, you're like, ugh. It's a trick of the enemy. If you can really get over something, you'll know you're over it when it doesn't affect you anymore. But if you still look at that someone, they're the ones that get on that last nerve, and you're like, thank you, Jesus. Oh, she's following me. He's following me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, you, why are you following me? Hallelujah. Pastor, what? What? You know how it is. People just kind of just, they're just tugging at you. And just tugging. And just tugging. And you wonder, are you ever going to be left alone? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that way? Jeff, you got a Jeff. Can you stand up, Jeff, and kind of walk this way just a little bit? You can put your Bible down. You can put your Bible. Just kind of walk that way. Just that way. Just hey, but not so fast. I got to catch up. Okay, walk a little bit. Someone tugging at you? Keep on going. But wait, watch this. Keep going. You know I'm on you, but I ain't stopping you, right? Until I see fit to stop you. But you can keep going and walking and walking and walking. I'm so attached to you, you'll never know that I'm on you. You get to the point, you start to realize, it doesn't matter that you're on me. You're not hindering me. You're not stopping me. But what tends to happen, watch, keep going, you're getting used to the pressure. You're getting used to the tension. And it's getting so used to you that you become more acclimated to it. You get used to it. I'm pulling just the same amount that I was pulling over there, and it stopped him. But now he's getting so used to it, he's trained up to know that something's on him, but it ain't stopping him. What happens after a while, if you could stop, sir, after a while, it'll start to wear on you, start to leave some marks on you. After a while, you'll begin to have some things loosed on you, which were not loose on you before. See, the enemy has a tendency to get on us, and the first minute we feel it, we start rebuking and praying. And then we feel it again, you're like, I already prayed that one. So you allow it. You allow it to come on you. You know it's there. You know what I'm talking about. When you get up and you don't feel good and you're just like, woke up on the wrong side of the bed. There's only two sides, so. Thank you, Jeff. But what happens, we allow the enemy to get on us. And he's been on us for so long that we've got accustomed for him being on us. So when it's time to get delivered. When it's time, say time.
Time.
Time. When it's time for us to get delivered, it's just time. Amen?
Amen.
Now, how many of you have been through a Holy Ghost deliverance? Raise your hand. Holy Ghost. You know the ones, the Holy Ghost, where, you know, you had the mamas praying for you and they wouldn't let you go. And every time you try to get up, they push you right back down and they'd be just praying in tongues all over you and spit coming down all over you. And then you had all this kind of babas coming out and everything. You just trying, you're rolling, getting mad. Your hair just Y'all had those kind? I had many of those. Many of those. And I would fight. And you know what the Lord told me? He said, the only reason why you're struggling is because you don't want to let it go. Because when I read in scripture, when Jesus spoke and the disciples spoke to that spirit, it left. Why? Because the individual wanted it out. Now, those that want to fight against the spirit, make the spirit want to, what's your name? Like, you need to know the name of the spirit. Hey, exactly right. Your name is Adios. Get on out of here. I have seen some deliverance in my time. I've seen people bend over completely backwards while standing up. Completely. Manifested. And not only that, out of the pocket of the individual, drug money that would not burn. Now, you know, you get a dollar bill, that thing, gone. Quick. It would not burn. Put that thing in a fireplace and lit it, and it wouldn't burn. Seen some things. I have seen some crazy things. I've seen some things in my house that I wondered, why are you showing me, God? And then I begin to look in eyes of individuals, and I start to see the demons in the individual. I was like, God, why are you showing me? I don't want this. How many of you know that you don't ask for the gifts? They're just already given.
Yes, that's right.
And then because they're given to you, it's like you have a responsibility to know how to use it. What are you telling me I'm supposed to see the demons in their eyes for? What for? And then the next thing you know, you hear them. I don't want it. I don't like this gift, God. You can take it back. I don't have a receipt for it, but you're going to take it back. I have my ID. You could just credit me something later. But some things that God gives you, I'm going to transition in, trust me. Some things that God gives you is some of the things you don't want.
Come on.
Yes, I hear that.
He will allow something to start on you, to weigh on you. But before it all starts, he gives you a word. Has he not given you a word? I know in this house, almost everybody in here got a word. And every word that came out of his mouth through this messenger unto you, didn't it go the opposite?
Yes.
You can tell me yes, because I know for a fact. And that's how I know it's the word of the Lord. Because if it wasn't the word of the Lord, you wouldn't be tested on it.
That is right.
And you got to pray your way through. You got to fast your way through. You got to shout your way through. And then you look and it still ain't come to pass. But you said, God, don't we do that? Don't you? You said. How many times did we do that? You said, God, you said. I'm sorry. Have we done that? We get real mad at God. You said this is your word. It's sitting your word right here in 2 Chronicles this, and then pastor said it this, and then pastor said it again, and then pastor said it again. When is he going to get out of this dark stuff?
Yes.
Cricket, cricket, cricket.
Yep. Help us, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. Every now and then, you just... Whatever, God. I'm going to sit in my own corner. Have my own pity potty. Don't even talk to me, God. No. I don't feel Holy Ghost now. Just want to be left alone. I love you, Jesus. And I can't do this without you. It's so hard, God. You know, what are you going to do? Mira, what's going on? But you know, And then something inside, something inside just begins to just stir just a little bit, just a little. Before a pot of water begins to boil, you can see the bubble start to come up. You don't hear me. Just before the boiling, there's some signs. There's some signs. And that sign is there's a rising. Oh, come on now. There's a rising in that pot that you've been in. I need to get me one of those wooden things. So when I stomp my feet, you're going to know I'm stomping my feet. James is just every now and then something inside just begins to rise in the midst of the heat. And in the midst of the heat is something inside that was spoken before my transition. It's a word that proceeded out of the mouth of God that always get tested by the enemy. And it ain't the enemy of God. It's the enemy to you. Now, how many of you know who Mike Tyson is? Raise your hand. Y'all know. So I'm just saying, have you seen his fights when he was in his prime? Before he even stepped into the ring, his opponents already had fear. Now, listen. The enemy has caused fear in your life. And that fear has come in to cripple you before you even get into the fight. But you got your word first. You got your word. Look, I want you to go to Exodus with me, please. Exodus 7, 1 through 13. You know how they have all these late night shows, and now they have their monologue before. That was your monologue. I'm going to introduce to you tonight at the Tonight Show here. You're going to see who's going to show up as my guest tonight. And my guest is Jehovah God. Yay. He is not only going to entertain you with signs and wonders. He's also going to entertain you tonight by speaking truth into your spirit. He's also has a second guest that is coming, which is the Holy Spirit that will sit here with us tonight as we begin to eat of his word. I feel the Holy Ghost. And he's going to begin to show us something new in his word that maybe you haven't seen before. He's going to begin to teach us something. And now the Holy Spirit brought a guest as well. And that guest is revelation. And revelation knowledge comes in so that the enemy can't steal it. So now we have three guests that are here. But there's something that you have to be a part of, is you have to engage in this word. And when you engage in this word, it becomes substance to your spirit man. Now go with me to Exodus 7 and verse 1. Exodus 7 and verse 1. We're going to read from 1 through 13. I'm going to read out of the NIV version. I'll begin reading. We honor the word as we put the word of God to use, not whether we're standing or sitting, but when we put it to use. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And though I multiply my signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand," say my hand. "I will lay my hand on Egypt, and the mighty acts of judgment I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand." Now you're hearing this. "When I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it." Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron was 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "When Pharaoh says to you, 'Perform a miracle,' then says to Aaron, 'Take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake.' So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same things by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up the staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's true, and I thank you that it is the substance that was necessary for our growth. It is necessary for us to understand your principles, your ways, and your character. And Father, I thank you that as we understand the word through revelation knowledge, I thank you that illumination of this word, Father God, brings light in our dark seasons. Father, I thank you in Jesus' mighty name, and all of God's children said amen. Now, do you see here, as God spoke to Moses and Aaron, I'm going to bring my people out and bring them out. And I'm going to do this with signs and wonders. Amen. Signs and wonders. How many of you want to see some signs and wonder? Ain't that right? How many of you really? Yeah, you want signs and wonders, right? You want some crazy stuff to happen, do you not? Like, that's God right there. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? That's how we want. We want God to say, that's God. That's God, right? And that's God, right? God Almighty, that's God. Don't we want that? Don't we not want that? Then you got to go down. Got to go down. They were in Egypt. Egypt was a place called the world system. Hello. The world system. And in that world system, they were being tasked by the master. In other words, they were in their bondage. Signs and wonders began to be performed. But did they get let go? Oh. Didn't God say, I'm going to go before Pharaoh. I'm going to let you out. I'm getting everybody out. I'm going to get your auntie. I'm going to get your uncle. And don't forget Nana, because I'm going to bring Nana too. And when you get Nana, I want you to bring that little chihuahua of hers. She's always barking. Just bring that little chihuahua too, because I'll make sure that everything is going this time. Right? And we get all excited. Yes, God, okay. I'm going to take a little chihuahua. I'm going to take my kitty cat. I'm going to make sure I get everything with me when I leave. But it seems like nothing's happening. You're performing all these great miracles, God, but hey, we still right here. We're still in our bondage. Wait a minute now. Sometimes we got to hear truth. We got to hear it. We get all mad and disgusted with God because he ain't come through with our healing or certain thing, but you ain't changed the way you eat. Change what you drink. Change what you smoke. Change the way you stay up late at night and rise early in the morning. You can't sleep throughout the night because you're restless. And we ain't doing nothing to change that because our weight has gotten apart. I can talk about myself, right? Because I don't want no one getting mad. Pastor, you're talking about. No, I'm talking about me. He said, why are you getting all mad? Because you can't sleep good at night. You all stressed out, aren't you? No, I got you. You got me, right? I got you. We good. Touch me, Lord. Worship all night long. Worship all morning long. Ain't nothing been touched. Nothing. Sheka ba 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 ba. Bye. I'm talking to you for real. Yeah. No, I ain't mad. I ain't mad. I'm actually, matter of fact, I feel better today than I felt for a while. Amen. And I got checked with this word, God. I got checked. Amen. I got checked. He says, you want to come out? You want signs and wonders, Marty? You're going to go through some stuff. I'm already going through. He goes, start looking for the signs. What you talking about? Start looking for the sign. Did I not say what I was going to do is I'm going to do? I didn't say when I was going to do, but what I'm going to do is I am going to show my hand in the midst of your bondage. And if you got something that's holding on to you that don't want to let go, I'm about to do something. You're about to see my hand. If this is the year of the hand of the Lord, you're going to see the hand of the Lord go forth unto the people that are hurting you, ridiculing you, and talking about you. You're going to see the hand of God come upon the things that have been stopping you from getting ahead. You're going to see the hand of God come forth and break some things off of you. Amen. While you're still in your Egypt. While you're still in your Egypt. Oh, man. Jeff, can I get assistance, man, please? I need you to open. I'm going to get me one of those earpiece ones again. I am. I'm going to open this right here. Yeah, yeah. I ain't forgot about all this, God. All right. Let's see. Which one looks good, Jeff? Which one? Should I do this one? Yeah, let's do this one. Yeah, let's do this one, Jeff. Watch this. Come over here, Vanna White. There's Vanna White over here. You just hold that right there. Let's see here. Let me see. Which one looks prettier?
That one.
Let's do that one. Let's do that one. Now, what I'm doing for those listening on the podcast is I'm going through my tackle box here, and I got myself a little, what we call a Rapala, what's a lure? Can you hear it on the podcast? If you're like, what is that? Well, get to church and you could see it. Well, I got the Holy Ghost listening to the podcast, Pastor. Now you missed the anointing over here, though. But see, this is what we call one of those deep diving crankbaits. And when we go fishing, we have a tendency to, I can't use that bigger one. You can just hold that right there just a little bit. We'll use this one too. When we go fishing, we fish with live bait. And live bait usually is going to bring you the real fish. Okay. But every now and then, follow me now, every now and then, we want to be sportsmen, you know. We've been watching the, you know, all those outdoor magazines and all stuff. We want to be, well, and so we go now and go buy all these nice things and look, oh, look, this guy's the big old yellow eye, just like, well, I don't know what's in the water that would look like that. But anyhow, it's nice and shiny. We put that at the end of the line. We'll cast that out there. But what I find when you use the artificial lures, you're constantly casting and casting and casting and casting and casting and casting until a fish is enticed to bite. Now this one here, I'm just going to give you a list because I know some of y'all don't know what fishing is like. But this one here is not going to dive deep into the water. It's going to stay on top of the water. And matter of fact, this little thing back here is going to spin on top of the water, causing a commotion on top of the water. Just like the enemy causes commotion on the surface for you, has nothing to do with the depths that you're in. It just causes commotion to give your attention to it. Just kind of just sitting there, just nagging at you and nagging at you and nagging at you, and it won't go away. And it just gets right in front of you. Whoop. Comes back and comes back again. Whoop. You won't get to the point. Don't swat at it because it'll get you. But you'll get to the point like, would you get that thing away from me? I'm just sick and tired of this thing. I don't want to see it no more. And that's the same thing that the enemy's doing. He's using artificial lures at you. He's using the imitation and not the real thing. Y'all don't want to play with me today. Then all of a sudden, since you're not biting on the surface, because you're not a surface Christian. You're the one of those deep Christians. They're like, I want signs and wonders. I want deep revelation. I watch Perry Stone. I watch my T.D. Jakes. And every now and then, I just get into the deep things of God. So then the enemy, what he does is, easy now. Then what the enemy does, he goes, I ain't going to mess with you on the surface issues. I'm going to go into the deep things. Feel something on me. I feel something on me. Yeah. Whew. Who's this for? Jesus. Gets down deeper and deeper. It starts causing vibrations the deeper it goes. And those vibrations is going to cause you to strike out of reaction. Not out of hunger, but out of reaction. You want to be hungry for God? The enemy says, stay hungry for God. Watch what I'll do. I'm going to throw something your way that's going to, you're going to think it's so deep in God. It's going to just give you all kinds of vibrations to make you think, ooh, that's God. And you're going to strike not because of hunger, because you've been agitated. Because you've been in the depths for so long. You've been down there for so long with no lights. Thank you, sir. Thank you. And you just strike because you've been agitated and frustrated. You just strike. And when you strike at that, you may get caught and snagged by the enemy's snare. You hear me? We have a tendency to get caught up with what the enemy is throwing, the artificial lures to lure you away from the promise of God. Now, I want you to go back with me as he begins to speak in Exodus concerning the Israelites coming out of their bondage. Now, I want you to think about this. We're still talking about fishing now. I want you to look at this. The first lure that the enemy is going to use is imitation. All that was is just imitation lures. They make it look like a fish. But if you look at that, that looks nothing like a fish. Many times the enemy's going to throw things your way that is going to make you think that it's a God thing. Oh, Before lures ever came out, you know, you can catch a fish with the shiny little silver hook and just dangle it in the water. The shininess is going to make the fish turn to it and swim after something that's shiny. So what the enemy is going to do is going to put something in your path that's going to look good and enticing to you just so that you can get hooked. Put up the fight all you want, but once you're hooked, you're hooked. Put that hook in your mouth and he has control over you. Control over you. Now, I read in the history books what they used to do to the slaves in Africa. They used to put the ring nose or in their cheek and they would pull because they didn't have to pull hard. Oh, just a little bit of tension and they would move. That's all they had to do. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is the enemy's going to get you enslaved by something that you're going to bite at that looks somewhat like God. Okay? The first lure by the enemy is imitation. In Exodus 7, verses 8 through 13, he tells them to throw down the staff and it's turned into a snake, correct? The imitation, now the sorcerers do the same thing. So he imitated. The enemy's going to imitate things to be like, oh, this is God, this is God, this is God. I know this has to be God. I know I got to follow this. This is God. I've been praying for this. This is God. But the imitation comes because the word was spoken. Do you see that? Before any of these manifestations took place, God spoke. And he spoke about their freedom. And because freedom was coming to them, now the enemy is, I'm going to use imitation to get them tripped up. Now, if you really want to get technical for you deep scholars in here, because we got a lot of them. Just saying. Each thing that the enemy did and God did together in tandem, and we all know the 10 plagues in the Bible, correct? These 10 plagues were utilized by God because the Egyptians used these 10 things as their gods. Okay? Okay, watch. I'm trying to get you to understand. If you've been going through your bondage season, your night season, your depth season, you know, your season, all of the stuff that is going to come your way is going to be by false deities. False deities. What you will put up before God is an idol. Didn't I tell you just that? I felt that in my spirit last week. There's some idols being raised up. A false deity. A false hope. And it's got to go down before you can come out. Amen. The first thing he did was in the courts, in Pharaoh's courts, he put down the snake. One of the godheads of the Egyptians was a snake head. It was a symbolism. You look at all of the pharaohs, they have the cobra, you know. Okay, so you have that. The second thing that they did is the imitation of the blood in the waters. Okay? And if you read on the story, before we go into all this kind of reading in the scripture, when they do that, the bloody waters, this is in Exodus 7, 19 through 24, he tells Moses and Aaron, stick your staff into the water, and he turns all the water into blood. if you read on, and then the magicians do the same thing. But wait a minute, did he not say that they turned all the water into blood? So how can they turn bloody water into bloody water? Are we missing that when we read that? But here's another thing. Think about it. All that water was their drinking water and the livelihood for their cattle, right? For their bathing and everything, they're brushing their teeth if they did, you know, just saying, just all that stuff. So now Moses sticks his rod in there. It turns into blood. Pharaoh and his sorcerers do the same thing. It's like, gee, thanks. The only water that was clean, if it was clean, you just turned into blood. Now we got no water. So the enemy does things to cause you to be in lack and going without. Just going without. And what was once left for you that would be able for you to make something to drink, to cook, to clean, to give water to your cattle and your livestock was also taken away. Do you see that stage in your life somewhere? You start to get a little bit of jingling in your pocket. Next thing you know, it's gone. Car breakdown. Someone got a ticket. Some bill came in that you didn't realize, and you didn't budget your checkbook right. You didn't balance it out. You're negative now. Yeah, you know. So you go to HEB. Never mind. I ain't saying none of that. Write a check and cash. You know, float it. But you know, just write a check. Just tell my mom, Mama, buy me some shoes. I ain't got no money, but you got checks. Every time you would sign that paper thing, a check, I would get what I was asking for. So you still got those, right? They give you a lot of them, so you got a lot of money. Right? Come on. You know you do it, too. You're like, but I got a check. If I write it now, I get paid on this day. There's enough time, just enough time. And if I get there before 10 o'clock in the morning, I put the money, I'll be all right. They won't charge me. I'll call. But I didn't know what happened. I thought my check was going to be in. I thought, can you just take away the fee? We've been through that whole thing before. Hallelujah. I tell myself day in and day out, Jesus, stop it. All right now. Okay, now just listen. Now, this is funny. They do the frogs now, okay? Well, let me give you some information about the Nile River. Do you know that the Nile River in Egypt, they used to worship the Nile River as a god? Okay. So now God is now challenging their god. Right? So then in the bloody waters, that's one of their gods. And then frogs, they had another god that was a frog head. I don't get that. Yeah, the snakes, Nile River, frogs, they didn't have a clue. They had no clue. Okay. The third one was the swarms of lice and gnats. I'm sorry, the fourth one, yes. The fourth one. And now, on this one, they couldn't manufacture the same thing. Now, every now and then, the enemy is going to do some things to make you feel like, okay, now there's something that doesn't seem right because it doesn't hit my spirit right. And that's what God is training you up in this season, to train you to discern which is God, which isn't God. It may look good, it may sound good, it may smell good, it may feel good, but it ain't always God. Amen. Just because they paint a real pretty picture don't mean it's God. I know a story in the Bible where she was so fine that she painted her eyes, looked down the wall, and tried to get Jehu's attention. And Jezebel couldn't get the attention of Jehu. Jehu just spoke, is there anybody in there that's with me? She got thrown over the wall. The enemy's going to paint himself a pretty picture for you to say, well, that's God. He's trying to get you to come out of your little pity potty to discern what's going on. I'm still performing miracles for you. You're not out of your bondage. You're not out of your Egypt. I'm still doing some things for you, but you're getting a little frustrated with me, Marty. Now, you just need to know something. That you ain't going to come out just that quick. You're going to go through for a little bit. And then every plague that is happening and all these signs and wonders that are taking place, some of them are going to affect you. Because you're in the land. They were living in Egypt. Well, the things that did not affect them was the water, the frogs, and the gnats. The flies affected them. They were the Lord of the flies, because that was one of their gods. The disease on the cattle, did that affect the Israelites? So in other words, all your hamburgers and steaks are gone. You got to go back to fishing, or you got to be eating nothing but raw vegetables because it's better for you. I'm just saying. Just saying. Just you got to change your eating habits. Oh, watch. Why you thinking that? Like, well, Pastor, you just making it up. No. He took the meat away because they were getting ready to go on a long journey. Some of y'all catch that. Some of y'all starting to catch. You put it on. I got it. I'm prepping you for where you're going, but even though I'm putting my hand on the Egyptians, you are being trained up to change your ways. Change some things in your life. That's why you're in your bondage. Not because you did something wrong, but because you're in my hand.
That's right.
Because you're right with me. And I already spoke this into existence, but you ain't seen it happen yet. All the enemy's doing is throwing some smoke screens at you. He's trying to make you get on your pity party over here and cry to God and get all mad to God. He says, I ain't throwing no line at you that way. I'm letting you know that I'm going to come through for you. But he will see my hand on the Egyptians first. And you'll see my hand on their land. Watch this. Why their land? Because I don't want you to ever think you're going back to that land. I'm trying to get you to another land. And I have to curse that land. I've got to curse the people. But you're in the midst of it. That's also going to have to change the way you eat. Change the way you do some things, because I'm doing things in the midst of it. Watch this. Now you're really going to understand about the blood of the Lamb that is put over the doorposts of your life. You didn't know it before until you were in your bondage, when you start decreeing the blood, the blood, the blood. Before you weren't decreeing the blood, you were just like, Lord, help me. But now you understand the power of the blood. And when the blood is put on the doorpost, what is he talking about the doorpost? That is over your life and over your household. And when you put that blood over there, you can now leave, because now you've understood you're under the blood. Where was the blood applied? In Egypt. In their household. In your bondage, stay under the blood. When you stay under the blood, the angel that was coming by God's authority to take the people out, even if you were part of the Israelites, if you did not, if you did not obey, you're going too. What is our responsibility? To obey. Some knucklehead like Pastor Marty probably would say, I ain't putting no blood on. I got to clean it tomorrow. I ain't going to do that today. And you'd have been struck down. Dead. Just because you didn't want to do what God said.
Come on.
You hearing me?
Yeah,
amen. It don't make no sense. I'm going to put blood all over my door for it. It's going to look like it's crazy. It look like we're doing all kinds of satanic worship in here. And we're going to think we're cudaneros or something. We got all kinds of stuff all over the place. That don't look like God. Discernment.
Yes.
Discernment. Yeah. You're willing to obey the frogs. You're willing to follow even after the blood and the water, the gnats and the locusts. But when I tell you to apply the blood, now you may have a chance to say no. He's been training you up that whole time while you're in your bondage. And if you've been in that dark season of your life, he's training you up for a reason. He may be changing the way you drink, changing the way you eat, changing the way you get up in the morning and doing things that you used to do. You're no longer doing no more. You're doing something different because he's guiding you. Why is he guiding you? Because you were about to come out of a place that you were dependent on a system. And now you were going to learn a new system in a new land that you were going to have to depend on him guiding you. Oh, Jesus. I'm just trying to just trying to teach, but I can't teach. We get so caught up in a system, doing things systematically every single day. You know the drill. Get up in the morning. Go down. Before you even say hello to Jesus, click. Coffee. Come on now. Come on. Dogs are waiting for you to let them out. Cats looking at you like you're crazy. I come first. But you walk in there, click, there goes the coffee. You go through two pots of coffee just because it's yours, just because you can. You go through two pots of coffee, and it don't even take effect in your life. And when caffeine don't do nothing to me, I got this. Yeah. And missing the whole thing. So then he starts to challenge you. Oh, you going to do a fast, Marty? You're going to do a fast, right, for the church fast? Because all Christians do fast. Because it's the first of the year we're going to fast. Every church all over America was doing it. Every single church. But what I find very interesting, yeah, y'all going to shout me down. You're going to, I know it. Y'all going to say, Pastor, you need to stop all that. They still the same. Still the same. Matter of fact, you can look at, yeah, you lost weight that month, but I'll give you 2 months. You're going to be right back to the way you used to be. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, you're going to gain even more weight because when you fast and you don't control the way you eat, when you come off your fast, you're going to gain more than what you originally lost. And it's going to be harder for you to lose what you lost. We go through so he can train us on how to live differently. He says, you don't want to listen when I have given you instructions. All you have to do is read and do, but you don't want to listen that way. So let me put you into a place. Fear not to go down. Remember that. Fear not to go down. For in a little while, I'll bring you up again. Remember that? Remember that? That was just on Sunday. He says, but when you go down, I'll go down with you. Now, was not Jehovah God with them right there in the midst of all those signs and wonders being performed? And all the Egyptians saying, look, we can do what you're doing. Some things we can't, but if you just go outside and watch this, watch this. Go and sacrifice unto your God to remove this curse. Where did they go sacrifice? Not in Egypt. Outside in the wilderness. In the desert. They had to come out of the city to go sacrifice. What is that signifying? In order for you to come out of your bondage, you're going to have to sacrifice some things. And you're going to have to sacrifice while you're in your bondage, but you got to come out for a little bit and do it and go right back into your bondage. Oh my God. Read it. The only ones that went to go and do the sacrifice, Moses and Aaron. Mm-hmm. Watch this. God and the prophet. That's what he said who they were to Pharaoh. God and the prophet. What is that signifying? That God will always require a sacrifice, even for a prophetic word to come to pass. You want to get loosed? Go out and sacrifice. Go sacrifice. Go sacrifice. Watch. But you're not staying out there as a sacrifice. You got to come right back. You ever felt like you got ahead and then you came right back? Like, oh God, I'm out here and I'm sacrificing to you. And every time there was to be a sacrifice with God, there was a presence of God. Imagine having to leave that and go back into your bondage. You feel God so strong in a church service. Hallelujah, Father. I thank you. I feel the Holy Ghost. I declare everything that you've spoken over my. I feel it, Lord. This is it. This is that hour. This is that very hour, God. Yes. Amen. And then Monday comes. As soon as we leave the door, Pastor, we walked outside. You don't know what kind of hell hit me. Well, there's where hell is. It's outside. And it comes at you. It comes at you strong. But you go and sacrifice. You come back. Every time you come into the church, you're sacrificing your time to God. Amen. And you're going right back out into your bondage or whatever it is. I'm not saying you're a people of bondage. I'm not saying that. Hear what I'm talking about in the story so that you have an understanding how God works. He speaks first. He'll manifest. He's not manifesting for you. He's manifesting on the behalf of the Egyptians to show them that he's truly God. God, how come you ain't coming through for me? Why don't you get someone that needs to get saved and bring him in? You'll see signs and wonders. Why you keep preaching to save folk?
Amen. That's
right. Mm-hmm. We all got it. We all got it. When's the last time you brought a visitor to church? Mm-hmm. He's saying, I will show up and show my hand to the unbelievers. To make them believers. You already believe. But remember what I said first. I will bring you out. And then I'll begin to show you signs and wonders out of your bondage, but in your wilderness. And you're wandering. I hope you're reading this the way I read it. Look at what God is saying in his word. You want to know the prescribed order? I speak. And when I speak, all hell is about to break loose. It is. Because the enemy wants you to give up and lose hope and faith in the word. So every single time that happens, you're going to get, and you may say, well, I didn't get no prophetic word. I was just reading. Yeah, exactly. You were getting the word in you. And when that word came in you, it began to manifest inside of you something so beautiful that now, even in the midst of the boiling water, something inside is stirring up. Because you're about to come out. Here's what I find is very interesting. In Exodus 12, verse 40 through 42, go there real quick so you can read it with me, and I'll close with this. Exodus 12, just go to the right a few pages. I want you to go to verse 40. Holy Ghost. And verse 40 of Exodus 12 reads, now the time that the sons of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. It came about at the end of 430 years to that very day that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be observed for the Lord for having brought them out from the land of Egypt. This night is for the Lord to be observed by all the sons of Israel throughout their generation. When did they come out? At night. How come he didn't do it during the day? Because in your darkness, you're about to experience the hand of God to bring you out even while you're still in your darkness. Oh, God. It's in the darkness that God speaks. It's in your darkness that he goes down with you, but it's in that darkness that he brings you back out. Psalms 30 verse 5 out of King James reads, for his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. All you've got to do when God speaks to you a prophetic word, even through the reading of the scripture, is shout. Because it's about to get crazy and it's about to get loosed all in your life. And things that you thought you were going to progress into began to make you feel like they're being taken away from you. And you may doubt that God has even spoken. But he spoke this thing first to encourage you and to give you vision. But it says in his word that my people perish for a lack of vision. But he's got to speak first when we know that where we're going. And once we know where we're going, we understand what our destiny is. But if we don't know where we're going, if he's not speaking where you're going, you may die in the midst of your darkness in your Egypt. But if you come up under that blood, when he says to come under that blood, you ain't going to die. You're going to live. And everything that has been on you, that has been causing you pain, whether it be physical, emotional, or spiritual, is about to die. And when you come out of your Egypt, when you come out of your darkness, you will step into his promise, and it'll be a night season. And in that night season, he's going to speak to you. He said, come up out of there. It's my time now to show my hand for you. And I'll bring you up out of that bondage. I'll bring you up out of those people that have been talking about you, that have been hurting you, lying to you, and been coming against you and stealing your money. I'm about to bring you out so I can take you into a place. But I'm going to bring you out in your night season. And so when you open your eyes and you say, but it's still night, it's joy, baby, because it comes in the morning. And morning doesn't have to have the sunlight. It's when you wake up. When you wake up, you have a revelation of where you've been. And you come up out of that thing. But it was still dark. It's dark. But it's a time of darkness to be remembered. To be remembered, baby. Your darkness, to remember it. Because you would have lost your mind a year and a half ago. You were getting to the point of really letting go. You were going down and down and down until he came in and he touched you. And you felt his touch. So I brought you out of your night season. But look back at it so you understand where I brought you from. Because where I'm taking you, you're about to get restored, not just in your heart, but you're going to get restored in trust. Because trust is one of the things that you struggle with, because you've been taken advantage of. You've been lied to. In fact, everything that goes with it, baby, and I don't want to put you on blast. Everything that goes with it, you've succumbed. And you've overcome. Let all that go, but look back and say, God, you brought me from a mighty long way. Because you brought me from a long way, my trust is in you, so I can gain trust in men. Because you have a hard time trusting. But you're going to know this. The trust is going to be easier. And he's going to show himself strong for you. You're blessed, woman of God. You're blessed. Know this. That pain and those scars that have been left behind in your heart are about to be removed, so they won't cause no more pain. Celebrate now, girl. Celebrate now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It ain't time. It ain't time. Put it to rest. Put it in the grave, Justice. Put it in the grave. If it's truly God, he'll bring it back up. Because you can't stop the promises of God. And if it's killed, guess what? The resurrection power always brings it back up. Then you'll know it's God. Then you'll know it's God. Be at peace, beloved, because you're still going to travel. You're going to travel. And there's going to come a time during the summer that your son is going to go with you. And you're not going to worry about it. You're not going to worry about where is it going to come from. It's going to be there. It's going to happen. But he's going to travel with you. And it's going to be a time of reconnecting, of reestablishing. And it's also going to be a time where your wife is going to see his hand. His hand. I see a trailer being pulled behind a car. And it's not just the stuff for your job. It's going to be because it's the clothes with those that are traveling with you. You've asked to do this thing with God, but not alone. The fire is building in her. It's building. And as it's building, watch out, because she's about to take off running. And running strong after God like never before. And every seed that you spoke to her, you're going to see it right in front of your eyes. Boom, 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 boom. Every single seed. It's just going to open up. It's just going to open up. And God's going to show how much he loves you. How much he loves you for loving his people. Hallelujah, Father. God, you're so good, and I thank you for your time and your presence and in your word. I thank you, God, that we are a people that are coming out in the night season. We used to train up our children, God. Nothing good happens in the middle of the night. But Lord, I realize what happens in the middle of the night when you ordain it is you bring us out. You bring us out in the night season so we can prep, so we can move forward, so we can sacrifice in the daylight, so that all can see. In our transition, we transition during the night. that your word will come to pass, Lord, that you will bring us up out of Egypt, and that your hand will be on the land and on the people. And when we crossed over, God, we are just like the Israelites. You parted the Red Sea, the Red Sea. You first turned the rivers into blood, and then you turned the Red Sea and you opened it up so that we could cross over on dry land. But you used that same thing that was a miracle for us as it caused the depletion of our past. You ate up everything, God. You swallowed it up. And I thank you, God, that what you did for the Israelites, you're doing for us today. It's a representation of Jesus Christ that has come in to do away with everything of our past. To be redeemed as the Redeemer lives, everything has been wiped away. We have been redeemed. We have been redeemed. We are a people of redemption through the blood of the Lamb Jesus. For he went on the cross, but he came down from the cross and went into a grave. And on the third day, he went, before he went up, he went down. He went down and he took the keys from hell, death, and the grave. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father, forever interceding for us, his saints. And I thank you that we are the children of God, the saints of God, that move forward in the purposes of God to advance his kingdom, to bring the gospel full circle, Father God, to all the land, Lord. And I thank you that many of those that are being called unto the other parts of this world, Father, I thank you for your hand to be upon them, Lord. And I thank you upon their ministries, Father God. They shall be moving forward, God, with the provisions, Father, that you have spoken into their lives. That every prophetic word that has entered into the ear gates of your people, Lord, that it shall not fall under the wayside, but it shall accomplish what it was set out to do. And God, I thank you that as we receive a prophetic word, though it may seem like we're taking 5 steps backwards, Lord, we're only getting momentum. Because we're about to knock down that door and knock down that mountain and crawl over it, jump over it, and run over it, God. Because we are not the people that we used to be. We are a people that will not take no for an answer. And God, I thank you that only came because of your word, God. Your word. And I thank you that we're a people that will take charge of our destiny, take charge of our life and your temple, God. And I thank you that we will not be still in our mess. That what we will do, God, is be obedient to your command. So, Father, I thank you that you spoke tonight to encourage us. That you will do signs and wonders in the midst of our bondage. In the midst of our Egypt experiences. But you will bring us out and then you will show signs and wonders to us. And God, I thank you and I bless your word and I bless what you're doing in this house, Lord. And I bless what you're doing in the houses of your people, God. I thank you that their storehouses are being filled. I thank you that their temples are being cleansed. I thank you that their bodies are being healed. I thank you that their minds are being renewed. And I thank you that the plans of the enemy have already been canceled. God, there's not a battle between the devil and God. That's an unfair fight. You're already won. So God, I just thank you right now that we have victory in all areas of our life. And we got to just walk it out. So Father, I just thank you. And I bless here your people, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Well, I pray.